Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and so that's what it looks like when you use a Don DeDon character as a basketball! And with me, I have...
A note to the public at large. Don't take your brother with you to Thailand. Weird shit happens.
And...
I think Clive was heard of this one out round up.
Ugh, 30 tracks, AI garbage, and Kendrick Lamar, what are you doing here?
Dude, man. Kendrick, you're better than this. Actually, I don't even think that's the worst part. The fucking name, I had to double take. I am music. So is Playboy saying that he also writes the songs? All the songs? By the way, to the people who do the gift sets and like the Discords or Facebooks, you know what I'm talking about. I am very disappointed in you because I searched very extensively. I did not find one gif of Stephen Colbert yelling "Metalo." Does no one else remember that but me?
I guess everyone else is not as in touch as we are in regards to late 2000s/early 2010s pop culture.
Clearly. But, this isn't a Colbert Report podcast.
It never will be, because we don't know enough about it, because the show's been off the air for 10 years.
It may have defined a significant chunk of my existence, but anyway... here we are at episode 386 of this, podcast thing. So, how's everyone's week been going?
If I may use onomatopoeia to explain my week, it would be like this. Not good. Not good at all. It was a week where my work decided... We're going to bury you alive! Because we're very overworked and understaffed and I fucking hate everyone. And I wanted to kill someone on Sunday. Oh. I didn't, thankfully. But it was not a good week, especially with my AC unit being out. And it being 75 degrees every day for 5 days straight. So it gets very hot in this house. Yeah, it was a week from hell for me. And when I came home on Sunday, I was just dead tired, dead to the world. I didn't know what to do to take my mind off of everything. So, cheesy 90s video game anime, it shall be. I just watched the Fatal Fury TV specials and movie, which, first special, pretty good. Second special, the best of them all. The movie, a little too long, but still fun. They're still fun, and they look gorgeous on Blu-ray. Nothing went my way last week. Just, I need to let that out.
Fair enough. Here's hoping this week's better.
I fucking hope so, too.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I can say yes. Well, you know what happened Saturday is the whole, the whole South, there's some fucked up weather, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least like, I was expecting fucked up weather. I mean, all I got was just, thunderstorms and a lot of wind, and that's kind of it. At least in my neck, everybody prepared for, like, the air or some shit. It's like, okay, I mean, I'm glad that bad happened. I just feel like people hype me up for disappointment.
For what it's worth, we got off easy. Like, my partner had to sleep through tornado warnings on Saturday night. That had to suck for him.
The waters, all that shit. And it's just been those type of days where it's like, I'm glad none of that shit happened here, at least where I'm at, but I'll just say that. But
yeah, that kind of sounds like what's been happening on my ass for me. Well, first of all, the wind has been hitting pretty hard. Usually you can tell when at work they tell us, hey, you're not allowed to go through the front door because the wind's blowing hard. Ugh, fucking weather. But aside from that, I saw a couple movies over the weekend. So I saw Captain America Brave New World, which was one of the movies of all time. I mean, it's all right. Like, I don't think too highly of it, but, like, it's not bad. I mean, Harrison Ford's great in it, and, you know, whoever was playing Isaiah Bradley, good stuff. But otherwise, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like anyone investing more thought or emotion into it, positive or negative, is just kind of taking up oxygen on Blue Sky. Y'all know who you are. And I also saw Smile 2, which was kind of weird to me. Now, let me say up front, I do think the movie works, all things considered. Hell, I think on balance, I kind of like it better, a little bit better than the first one. But that ending, how are you going to make a third one after that? Okay, so...
money?
So, because, like, here's what gets me about this. So, just, this is going to be spoilers a bit for anybody who hasn't seen it. So, if you don't remember from the ads, the movie takes place from the perspective of, like, a pop star named Sky Riley trying to mount a comeback after, you know, the trauma of a car crash and drug addiction and all that stuff. But she's getting haunted by the smile demon. And eventually, of course, because this is a horror movie, the ending isn't super happy. The demon gets inside of her and then manages to... it does this in the middle of one of her comeback shows. So it ends with an entire stage of people witnessing, you know, her killing herself because of the smile demon. And that basically spreads it to, like, whoever's in the area watching, which is an entire stadium full of loud screaming fans. So again, if you're gonna make a third one, what, is this demon running around everywhere infecting everything? Doesn't that kind of like, isn't the point of these movies that the horror mainly comes from how this demon, like, isolates individuals and just drives them utterly insane? I feel like this is kind of making the scope, like, beyond the point of what works, you know? That's just, I just don't get it.
It feels like these movies want to say something more than what they actually are saying, but fuck if I know what they're trying to say. It just feels like jump scares. Just a barrage of jump scares.
I mean, I understood the point of Smile 2 perfectly fine. Just being a pop star sucks. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that whole Britney Spears thing. I remember that whole pop star freak out XYZ. Like, I got it. It's just, again, you gotta learn what to leave well enough alone at a certain point. But that's just my opinion.
Well, good thing we don't have to worry about that anytime soon. And in other news, Megan 2 is happening in a couple months.
Man, that first one was so good.
It's going to be even more popalicious, if that's even a word. I don't know. I'm making things up. I'm tired.
In the next 6 weeks, prepare for Mithrigan.
Mithrigan, yes.
Yeah, we have fun here. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much about it for all the formalities and stuff. So we're going to move on to the usual business. This is, of course, just a good old song buffet episode. And buffet aplenty. There will be plenty of eating if you catch a drift. So
yeah, the first time in a few months.
Yeah, with a particularly fun twist somewhere in there. So as always, there will be a playlist down in the description. So you can follow along with us. Pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. So, a few weeks back, we got the announcement that the band Callous Dowboys will be releasing a new album May 16th titled I Don't Want to See You in Heaven. Yeah, May 16th. And we got the first couple of singles, which definitely feel like they kind of have like those frenetic mathcore tendencies with some of the more offbeat melodious aspects here. But now we have single number 3, Lemon, which is even more of a swerve. Like, hell, literally the entire basis of the music video was them playing, like, a poker tournament. They're like, guys, we can't play any of our usual stuff. We gotta think of something. Like, hey, can we play Lemon? Like, are you sure? That's such a... okay, fine, we gotta play something. And then it gets into that something, which is, first of all, the fact that it opens with the most common drum beat in the world, TM. You know the one. There's this more subtle grooving bass leg. And the guitar aspect is a lot more of these, like, kind of like funky chords, but also kind of like more romantic acoustic guitar strumming. Like, I think I remember saying that one of the previous singles had something of kind of like a Dance Gavin Dance feel to it. And this kind of feels like it's emulating that in a very similar vein, although I was certainly caught a bit off guard by, like, the band suddenly, like, swelling in volume towards the end of the song and everything. But yeah, it's more of, for the most part, more of this, like, chilled out synth pop rock type of thing. So this really has me wondering what the whole album sounds like, because I feel like this might make more sense in context of the track list.
Yep, that's what I mentioned a while ago about some tracks and some albums. They did make mention of, I think the quote was, some people are going to love this one, some people are going to hate this one, it's just the reality of the thing. Lemon represents every frustration that you've ever had with a judgmental lover who wants you to give up on your art. Lemon says, fuck that, you didn't love me anyway. And Hester Keenan from Metal Sucks made sure to point out in the headline, the Calloused Owlboys switch up their sound, and it's sure to piss off gatekeepers. Because, yeah, this is definitely an atypical track for them. Though, for me, it's a nice change of pace, with a good, subdued breakbeat dictating the groove all throughout. Nothing fancy, just very, you know, steady. Until the final chorus stomps on the gain, and the whole poker party is embracing the music. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
And how.
I'm sure that could be innuendo for something, but hey, I'm just that naturally clever.
And how. Moving on to the next track here. So, it's been a couple years since Billy Woods dropped the album Maps with Kenny Siegel and proceeded to dominate all the year-end best of lists. So much so that everyone almost kind of forgot there was an Arm & Hammer record. Both records are really good. You should listen to both. I'm just saying. But anyway, it looks like he's gearing up to release a new solo album May 9th of this year titled Gollywog, which, if you're wondering what that name is, well, it's pretty much the same thing as the cover art. It's apparently like a doll that's made up to look like a racist caricature. Before getting into the album itself, we actually do have a decent amount of the credits in tow, and it has a couple guest appearances of note. Of course, Ellicid and even a Bruiser Wolf feature is set to happen.
Nice.
But there's also quite a lot of noteworthy producers at the helm. Just naming the ones that I recognize offhand, of course, there's LP, The Alchemist, Conductor Williams, DJ Haram, and even Preservation, among many others.
Okay, so basically people you worked with in the past.
Yeah, plenty of good stuff here. So, we have the first single from the record, Misery, and it's got a pretty nice beat here with this very kind of sparse, jazzy snare drum and this really great saxophone sample. This beat in particular comes courtesy of Kenny Siegel again. It's pretty concise at just 2 minutes and 12 seconds, but the lyrics do paint, like, a vivid image of Billy pretty much trying to hook up with a woman who's very clearly married and it does not go well. Like, I want to lay together, passing weed, tangles, legs, arms, feet, tangled sheets, rings and bangles, whispered, strangle me, big trees. I'm in the green room, candidly making small talk with the man, her girlfriend's in the band, she's not a fan of me, I get it. So I'm guessing, is she like a part of the music scene you're into? That's adding a whole nother layer of trouble, but hey man, if that's the hookup you want to go for, that's between you and whatever god you believe in. But yeah, honestly, pretty solid lead single.
Yeah, I have to say here, but it's pretty solid. And now, looking at the shadows in the that's thing and the features, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of interested to get, see what it's all about.
All right, yeah, we got a couple months for that.
Okay, do you mind if I go to the next one?
Sure, I was going to ask.
Yeah. Okay, so now, usually in the show when we talk about beef, we get very excited because we're usually about, somebody we like, somebody we don't like. We're like, yeah, we're gonna, yeah, we're gonna, yeah, yeah, the other way, yeah, we're boss as fuck, so we're gonna side with the one we like the most. You know what? This one is about a beef of rappers I do like, and I feel like, oh man, it's like one of those people's like, oh, I guess I gotta see how it goes out. So, the beef between, well, I say two more, like three now. Well, this one's Freddie Gibbs. Because, well, he's been beefing a lot of people, well, particularly two. So he got this Lucy track, which is titled The Big Two. So, okay, so for the past few years, he's been beefing with mostly two rappers. Well, one of them, this will be the first one, is being the Butcher. They claimed before, and apparently they've been beefing off again, which again, kind of sucks, because I like them both, and yeah, and he threw some shots at Benny when he said, I see my ex hoe with the ops, never getting the drama, they both got crackhead mamas, they got some shit in common. Which, of course, yeah, that was sort of aimed at Benny. He was born an addict, pussy nigga asthmatic, but fuck me rabbit the day you die, bitch, I'ma hashtag it. And then the next time, nigga pissed on the Soviet got shot. And then he said, then this one line where he says, my nigga ass got more promo than your album. The other one that was aimed to, that was towards JPEG Mafia. Yeah, that's the other rapper he was beefing with. This is what I mean, because the one time, like, somebody leaked the image of Freddie spread his cheeks. They call him Spready Gibbs. Yeah. And look at me. Okay. And also, yeah, him and Jimmy Mafia, they've been beefing too. So, yeah. For me to say this track, okay, I mean, the beat's nice. I gotta go R&B symbol of an SWV, which, that's the Dutch, and I can say that. Again, I'm torn apart because I'm like, it's like watching, let's say you got another group of friends, one of them met each other and they both start fighting and they're like, oh shit, I can't ever, oh shit, this happens.
Can't we all get along?
I don't like when y'all fight. I like them. I like all three of y'all. I mean, y'all to meet me. And yeah, I know both of you got some flaws in you.
Why can't we be friends?
But I'm just gonna say, yeah, I'm not expecting a truce anytime soon. So in other words, you like me, you like Trent Lucas by Gibbs and Benny on Alfredo. Yeah, keep the memory alive because you're not gonna hear collaborate again. I'll just say this. Don't expect the truth anytime soon. Just saying.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, as we all know, Flying Lotus is also engaged in a lot of filmmaking stuff. He's gearing up for the formal release of his newest feature film, Ash, which already premiered earlier at South by Southwest, but will have its more formal release this Friday. However, the soundtrack is getting released on Wednesday, and we have a little taste of that in the form of the track Oxygen. As expected, given the film's dark sci-fi premise, the beat here is heavily synthetic and psychedelic in kind of the usual Fly Low manner, with a lot of the drifting ambient synth, kind of the shuffling hi-hat and the snare clap, but there's also definitely more of a synthwave feel to things, mainly with that kind of heavy syncopated bass synth that's always punching through, like, all the layers of more ethereal, eerie ambience and everything. Not bad.
Yes, I gotta say, I definitely dug this track. I mean, it doesn't like those synth heavy scores you hear from either John Carpenter or Vangelis or any 80s style you might recognize. But yeah, I definitely dig this shit. I definitely say, oh, I can, you know, it was kind of nice. Oh, and the Adam Ward thing, the song's gonna be released on Milan Records. To be, I mean, just to add that in.
Nice. All right, moving on to the next track here. Speaking of the cinema, we have a true icon of that medium gearing up to release their debut album that year. Well, this year, rather. And it's the one, the only, John C. Reilly. Okay, I know that sounds like a joke, but remember, if you watch the movie Walk Hard, he sang a lot of that music himself, and that soundtrack unironically slaps pretty hard.
Yeah, and if we get the dude does have I remember him being in that one musical, one movie, Chicago, I think, if I can recall, because the dude's an actor, he's been in some serious shit, in case you forgot about that, since most of us do know him either as, look, your best friend Will Ferrell, or, oh, your Dr. Steve Brule, or that one show that we used to watch.
Yeah, so, for this album, it's called What's Not to Love. It's due out June 13th, and it mainly consists of, like, a lot of covers of tracks from the Great American Songbook, as it were, such as this song, Dream, which was originally written by Johnny Mercer in 1944, and recorded by the combo of Frank Sinatra and Roy Orbison. Now, I guess that the appeal of this project is going to be highly dependent on your affinity for extremely old music, like real oldies, the type of stuff that they play in trailers for Fallout games, as well as just the novelty of hearing a John C. Reilly album in full. But for what it is, I mean, it sounds like what you would expect. It's a very quaint sounding kind of acoustic track, and Riley's, of course, got a really solid voice for this kind of tune, so do with this information what you will.
Yeah, dude, that's good pipes. Like before, the dude is very talented. Like, we've seen it throughout the years. Whether he makes us laugh, or he has his ass off, or he even makes us wonder, why you got the glasses on? Yeah.
Well, yep, talent is on display here, but this is still an old 1940s jazz standard that Frank Sinatra sang, so there's not much else I can really say about it.
Well, if you don't have much to say about that, maybe there'll be plenty to say about the next track. Or should I say five?
Yeah, so Lil Nas X, he dropped something last week. We didn't talk about it. We said we would talk about it this week. We did not expect a whole week of drops.
Yeah. Five of them. Bat so, down the hatches, motherfuckers.
I guess waiting paid off in the end.
Maybe it's a good thing that.
So, he's apparently gearing up for the release of an album called Dream Boy. We don't really know when, but I guess part that rollout was supposed to be happening last year, aka the not entirely great year for Lil Nas X, for reasons, if you know, you know. But I guess he's trying to, you know, get the ball rolling again with this five-song rollout here. And the funny thing is, it was mainly supposed to be, like, the one big single, and the other four are just kind of, like, building up to that. So, let's go in and see what we got. So, the first of these singles is the title track, Dream Boy. And I'm gonna say, like, that I kind of have to agree with the YouTube comments. This, at least the first half or so of this song, feels very inspired by Outkast. Like, the piano, the drums.
Yeah.
And even Nas's flow kind of has, like, that flavor of, like, the really, really, like, chart-topping Outkast tunes. And eventually the song does kind of bring in more of the pop rap autotune and trap beats in the back half, with the lyrics being a song of success in the face of past failures. And I do think, like, you know, talent-wise, it shows a lot of versatility in this flow. I do kind of have to question the name drop of Jay Christ, though. Like, that was a high point for you. Again, that didn't really break in the top 40 for reasons, but
yeah,
whatever. I mean, I still like the song, all things considered.
Yeah. I mean, I was sort of like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, I mean, like the Dutch one. I mean, moving that swan piano to the, you know, going to the whole, you know, tripping, you know, trap part rap. You're like, okay, this is kind of like, I'll sort of like this one. Okay, I'm for the dig on this one. All right.
And then we get to the second single, Big Dummy. You know, like that thing Bender always calls everyone. And the instrumental on this one has like these MIDI keyboards, plenty of scratch and click in the percussion. And for the most part, it's Lil Nas in pure rap mode, you know, bragging about how cool he is, how hype his existence is. And, you know, it's pretty solid in that regard to establish like, you know, its own identity separate from the other track. But I do kind of have to call attention to the lyric, "My house is full like 9 on Nick at Night." Really? Full house? Dude, come on. The Nanny and George Lopez are right there. Those are objectively better shows. You know, except for the time George Lopez had Chingy on.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
But, yeah, I mean, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, this one like kind of decent. It's kind of decent, too. Like, it's been short of notice. But, yeah, I'll say... It's like third. I want to say third place for me. Fuck it, yeah. Let's just put it there.
Now, moving on to the third track, Swish. I just had like a PTSD flashback to the last time Katy Perry was genuinely relevant.
Oh no.
Anyway, stylistically of the songs, this is probably one of the most typical. It's pretty much, you know, your typical 2010s, like, sing, rap, R&B jam type thing. Plenty of auto-tune. Of course, the lyrics are about not really missing your shot in life. I don't know, like, I get that, you know, the sing, rap thing is a kind of song he's done before, but it never really felt like the most exciting kind of Lil Nas X song to me, you know?
This is on the bottom half. This is definitely the bottom list for me. This is like, okay. It's there. Okay, I'm moving on.
Then we have the song Right There. This being another song that kind of builds itself around a lot of auto-tune sing-rap flows. Except this one I can get into more than Swish just because the attitude is more charismatic, has way more swagger to it. And the beats definitely got like more hype, especially with like the vocal chants and kind of like the horns that pop up halfway through.
It's slightly better. Kind of, yes. It's still okay.
Yeah, if it sounds like I'm not really commenting much on stuff like specific lyrics, it's because like a lot of these songs are kind of about like similar things. So that's just kind of my perspective on things. But now we get up to the main event, the main feature, the song Hotbox. And you can tell this was the main feature because, okay, all these songs technically have videos, but the previous four were kind of just shot in one take against like a white background with, like, a few props. This one is actually more of, like, a proper full-on music video with tons of props, edits, extras, all that fun stuff. And also the fact that it is, gay as fuck, as, the scientists would say.
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I guess how you feel about this one is probably gonna depend, well, most of all, on one very important question. How do you feel about the Neptunes? Because, yeah, this beat is fucking Pharrell worship out the ass.
Yep. I'm just going to say that because the more I have, like, this sounds very, very Pharrellian. Why did I say that? It sounds Neptunian. It sounds the other guy, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, here's my take on all of this. So we've got a little bit of everything from preppy pop rap, downbeat bars, more melodic pop jams, booming bass beats, and a very clear overall visual direction in the five tracks and videos. Say what you will about the songs, you know, musically or lyrically, at least with the videos, there's a very clear visual motif of how everything is supposed to play out. And I'd say it works out better here where things aren't being fueled by attempts at shock value, but by crafting a new identity that's both exaggerated and also rooted in a bit of sincerity. So I'll say overall, it's a good return to form. We don't know when this album will release. We don't have any dates, but I will say this. These videos were definitely the most homoerotic thing to happen all week. Then we got the new episode of The White Lotus on Sunday.
One day I'll watch that show.
Yeah, you should. But maybe not with your roommates, because the last episode... boy! Steamy.
Oh, God. Man, I'm so busy with stuff. I spent the weekend reading more Homestuck, and I have taken more notes on the reproduction cycle of trolls than I care to count. That's not even what I bought this fucking notebook for. And now it just has, like, a web of, like, various interconnections and just, like, quadrants and charts. I thought this was just...
I fucking warned you!
Jesus Christ! That was the, for those who keep track of Decibel Boost lore, that is the Slipknot is mid roommate. They're wrong about that take, but I still care about them anyways. Alright, so, let's get back on track here, because, sure, five Lil Nas X songs in a row is a pretty interesting treat, but that is, of course, not the big thing that happened this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, gather together and worship. That's right, folks. May fucking 9th. The date has been marked. The pre-orders are probably in. Y'all are probably trying to get your tickets if you can fucking afford that shit. Good luck, because that is the date in which the enigmatic Mad Lads in Sleep Token have announced their new album, Even in Arcadia. So, yeah, that's what all that, you know, internet, Instagram, ARG hype was even about. By the way, apparently there's also, like, a separate ARG going on involving a whole separate band called President that's supposedly going to debut at Download, but who knows? So, we have the lead single from the album, Emergence. Fitting. So, we get this melodic ramp up in the intro of the song, pretty characteristic of the band's more ballady poppy side. Then we get the main verse, which kind of has like this subtle constant synth guitar thing, kind of just like looping in the background while the electronics kind of belt out this genty bass pattern that eventually leads up to the full band playing that particular rhythm, you know, with the super low-end detuned guitars, backing away into kind of a characteristically soaring melodic bridge. And then the last couple of minutes, bringing the full band in again to kind of hammer hard on the main sort of vocal, like, course motif, the wrap your arms around me, you know, that whole thing, except with, like, super sick detuned guitars and stuff. But that is not where the song ends, because remember how everyone was losing their minds over the summoning having that really kind of slick R&B funk last couple of minutes? Well, you want to know what the last couple of minutes of this song close out on? Saxophone!
Ah, our good friend is back!
Always a good time for sax. But yeah, so this is definitely an interesting way to start things. Like, it's definitely in a similar zone to a lot of what you heard on Take Me Back to Eden. Although certainly, like, some of the vocal flows from Vessel are a bit more, in kind of more of a, like, a pseudo-rap kind of thing. I kind of want to say it reminds me a lot of, like, the vocal flows on Ascensionism, because that had some, like, faster verbal passages there, but it's definitely got the pop side, it's got some of the heavy stuff, and again, always a good time for saxophone.
So yeah, this is very good, and, you know, ever since the last album blew up kind of big, I've noticed a bit of a gatekeepy feeling people tend to have over these guys. Like, oh, they're not real metal, and you're not a real metal fan if you like what they do. My musical education began in the late 90s when I was 5 years old with G-funk, R&B, post-grunge boy bands, pop divas, and even pop punk and nu metal as the years went on by. I've got a lot of taste, so a track like this serves as a melting pot of outside styles into a more modern metal package, of course I'm going to be into it. Because a lot of, you know, modern metal is kind of boring to me, but, you know, whatever. And, yeah, I'm really into this, especially with our friend the saxophone making a return at the end. And to quote one Mr. Nicholas Nocturnalist from the YouTube comments, I woke up for this, love saxy time, 10 out of 10.
That is a way of phrasing it, sure. But, you know, at least he's got the spirit. So, yeah, that basically about does it for all the songs. Now we just have to cover one last thing, the new album releases for the week of March 21st, 2025. Starting at the top, there's a new Cradle of Filth album called The Screaming of the Valkyries. Who cares? From the Indian band Bloodywood, there's New Delhi. From Imperial Triumphant, we have their new album Gold Star. From Rush, we have the anthology box set Rush 50. And last but certainly not least, we have a collab album between Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco with I Said I Love You First.
Place your bets. When does the breakup happen?
No clue. Could be anything. But now it's about time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
My other show, Discord, other Discords, the one platform we all like for now that's blue and not terrible most of the time. And, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mark, what about you?
Again, on the sky that's blue and what he said, except on my media. And on my site, mindhyperone.wordpress.com. Some stuff might come in the coming few weeks, hopefully.
Cool. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, etc., other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky @surrealresolution. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Of course, jump into our Discord as well, so you can chat about all sorts of things and be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. Thank you for listening this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual proceedings. So, until then, Metalo!
All right, the fuck out!